Welcome to another exciting edition of Thought Police. It's me, Mike Graham, and him, Kevin O'Sullivan. And the people listening will be pleased to know that we're not recording it in the evening because it's been a bit noisy the last two, hasn't it? So we're back because of our schedules permitting in the afternoon.
We're in the same pub, but there are far fewer people.
It's actually better, isn't it? So when the time comes, because you're going to be going away on holiday, which we'll talk more about in the Patreon section. If you're not a member of the Patreon Thought Police, you should be, because you'll get all some other good shit as well.
Absolutely.
And all the stuff that we can't say on this particular fucking podcast, right? Which is not much.
It's not much.
Things that are even more outrageous.
Although, to be fair, Mike, we don't use the word cunt anymore, do we?
We try hard not to.
We try hard not to use the word cunt.
I mean,
cunt.
I have used it recently.
I have been known to use the word cunt.
Yeah. And also, my trip to Edinburgh, there was a bit of swearing. I'll have to tell you about that during the Patreon thing as well. Because I got upbraided for using a particular word, which apparently the wokists didn't like.
Did you on stage?
Yeah.
Did you? Oh, you'd have to tell me about that.
But anyway, listen, here we are. We're sitting here in what can be described as a nice autumnal
fair enough kind of a day.
It's all right.
It's not autumn, but it is autumnal.
You just got back from a visit to North Devon.
Oh, fucking hell.
Where it was pissing down.
Oh, God. It was the eye of this storm, Storm Antonio.
Yeah.
So it was literally was the eye of that storm. So it
ripped. I never heard about storm.
Well, it was all over.
I heard it was coming in southwest.
The epicentre of it over the weekend was North Devon, right, and South Wales.
See how they're getting you to talk though now? The epicentre.
But it was a fucking epicentre, I'll tell you. So I was in North Devon, a place called Biddeford. So
I know Biddeford.
Headed for the beach on Saturday to take my brother's dog and my dog out. And Henrietta, we've got about like 5 yards on the beach. She said, I have to go back. I can't continue.
Because it was that
like Scott of the Antarctic or something. It was 65 miles an hour, the wind. I mean, it was whipping the rain into your face and the sand. Mm. It fucking hurt.
I bet.
It fucking hurt. And you could hardly walk. Mm. Dogs loved it, of course.
Was there anybody there?
The funniest thing was, right, so the dogs, you know what they're like.
Yeah,
they love everything.
This is good.
Piss them in rain.
Yeah, this is great. Yeah, just run over there.
Tails wagging, you know. Anyway, in the distance, in this sort of howl of sort of sand and shit and rain and everything, you could hardly couldn't see far either. I sort of saw this outline of a van on the beach, and I joked, "Oh, look, it's an ice cream van." Mm. As we got closer, it was an ice cream van. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Hardly anyone on the beach. So the worst storm you've ever seen, and this guy figures he can sell me a fucking 99.
And did you get one?
No. I didn't, funnily enough.
Was it cups of tea as well?
No, I just got the fuck out of there. Mm. Well, I managed to go a few, you know, half a mile or so, and then we came back.
Last time I was down in that neck of the woods, it was a couple of summers ago. We took a holiday just because we wanted to take the dog. And I remember going to some beach in near Biddeford, I think it was. Mm. Because it was near, it might have been on the other side of the coast, but it was near, what do you call it, Dartmoor, or Exmoor, or something. Mm-hmm. But the fucking beach, it turned out, was a private beach. It was a huge, massive, great big beach, but privately owned by some lord or brother. And so you had to park in a car park, which he owned, which he paid for, took the dog on the beach, no dogs allowed off the lead. And I was going, fuck this shit. Yeah. You know, I've come here to walk the dog. So we eventually went to sort of, and there was kind of ropes and places you had to walk. And I was like, I'm not fucking very keen on this. I didn't know you could even own the fucking beach.
Yeah, fucking aristocrats. They think they own everything, and the trouble is they fucking do.
The trouble is they do. And I mean, you know, it was a beautiful, beautiful beach, but for some reason, owned by this guy Lord, whoever he was. You know,
I think I read that story.
Yeah, eventually, it's quite a famous spot because there's a lovely hotel there. Which we
did
almost
develop in the whole area.
Yeah, I think so. But it's a sort of old-fashioned, kind of almost Art Deco type hotel there that people go from London all the time. And it was lovely to see, but you had to take the dog way the fuck about almost a mile away so that we could take him off the lead. Because I don't take Ziggy to the beach to put him on a fucking lead. Sorry, that's not happening.
Yeah. One last fact about where I was when I was on the beach. It was right next to a golf course called the North Devon Golf Course, which is a classic
links course. Mm.
I bet that would have been a tough first, you think
that looks easy, and then you think, actually it's not, typical links course. Anyway, it turns out North Devon is the oldest golf course in Britain.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, it might be England.
Might be England.
Must be oldest. Oldest golf. Yeah.
You know where Turnberry is on the Ayrshire coast? Yeah. If you go down the road a bit, you get to this really horrible little town called Girvan.
I know that.
Has got a little 9-hole course. Yeah. I once played it with a mate of mine, and it was so windy that he actually skied a drive, and it went behind him. The fucking wind was blowing so hard that it blew the ball backwards over his head.
Yeah, I played that course with some mates of mine, and there's this friend of mine, Chris, who's, I mean, he has his moments, but largely speaking, he's not a very good golfer, and so he's hacking his way up this path. This path,
and it's all open. There's no trees.
It was windy. He's having a bad day anyway. So he's hit about 4 shots, and he still hasn't made the green. And these little kids are about 10, ride past on a bicycle, and they look at him and they go, "It's a par 3, Mister." So he just goes, "Fuck off."
As you do.
Yeah. Let's talk about the migrants then. Yeah. Big day in the crisis. Yeah.
The BB Stockholm is open for business, and so the massed crowds of the charity guys were all sitting there with their welcome signs. Refugees are welcome here. I mean, fuck. They're all these kind of middle-aged women who are presumably looking to get laid or something, because fucking hell. Why the fuck they're standing around fucking waving all these young men in, I don't know. But it turns out that they're a bit disappointed because 2 arrived and were escorted onto the Bibby Stockholm by 1 security guard. So there's now 3 people, as far as this timing is concerned. I don't know if more are going to come before the end of the day. But there's basically 2 people have arrived.
Two
guys.
This sounds like the Rwanda scheme, isn't it? One person on a plane.
You know, frickin' frack from fucking, Essex or somewhere, have now been put into I don't even know if they're in a bunk bed by themselves, or whether they've got, a bunk bed each, or they've got a room each, just don't know. But, so this is the beginning, supposedly, of this particular episode and this particular fucking enterprise.
I mean, we were told
which
50.
Is doomed to failure, isn't it?
I mean, who knows how this will pan out by the time our fantastic audience are able to listen to this. To this edition of
Well, let's hope we can get it out.
But right now, after 3 fucking weeks of this barge sitting empty in Portland Harbour in Dorset. There's no one on board. We were told that finally today 50 might go on board.
Yeah.
And now you're saying that it's two. It's fucking pathetic.
You would think, wouldn't you, that there's enough of these characters in enough hospitals, in enough hotels, where they could load up a coach at least with 50 people and take a coach there. But what if they brought 2 guys in the fucking
guys,
back of a cab?
2 guys,
probably a black cab from London, 500 quid. Who knows what they're fucking doing?
It's a fucking joke, and it's going to get worse. And of course, the local residents are very pissed off.
Yeah.
So you've got this.
Well, they're not all pissed off, because don't forget.
Well, they're not locals.
The middle aged.
They're not locals.
Welcome here, refugees.
They're not locals. No. They're the renter lefty mob who just want to go and virtue. Oh, everyone, welcome. Yeah. Rapists, killers, please come. We just love you all. Bollocks.
These are all the women that used to go to Ghana to pick up a boyfriend, right? Now they're all going to fucking the bibbies.
Yeah, middle class white women, that's what they are. The locals who've got a stake in this, they're really fed up about it. And it's not surprising. There's 12,000 people live there. And they've got 1 copper, 1 GP, 509 young men are about to be foisted upon them, and they're shitting it, and I don't blame them.
Well, because not only are they going to be 500 of them or so there, they're going to have the ability to go and do whatever they want. So many of them will probably just fuck off. They'll get on, somebody rang the show today to say, they can get on a train, the train goes to Southampton, you can get a train to London, there's nothing keeping them on the boat.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, no, I think that's kind of right in a way. I mean, they're not criminals.
Well, no, but surely the point about putting people somewhere while they are processed, you have to know where they are.
Find out if they are criminals.
Because they might be. The point is that there's 500 fucking sex offenders on the loose now that nobody knows where they are.
they'll all be on the bibby, but stop.
Yeah, well, probably, yeah. But this is the thing. You can't, you've got to keep an eye on people. You can't just go, just come to the country, we'll put you on a boat, but if you fuck off and just wander about, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean,
how the fuck does that work?
That's what I mean about these old morons standing there with all refugees welcome. What, terrorists, say killers, now, say rapists? Clear.
Refugees are welcome here.
Well, if they're terrorists, if they're killers, if they're rapists, they're all welcome.
Yeah, they deserve a
fucking asinine, banal stance to take. Absolutely fucking ridiculous. By the way, so what happened with the BB Stockholm? It was commissioned in 1976 in Barbados.
It's quite an old boat, isn't
it's been sailing the seven seas all around the world for 50 years, nearly 50 years. It has housed migrants, asylum seekers, homeless people, and lots of construction workers.
Yeah.
Spent a long time in the Shetlands at one point, spent a lot of time in Holland, and never once did it catch fire.
No.
Never once was it a fire risk.
No.
It gets to Britain, it's described as a floating Grenfell.
Right.
Bollocks. And guess what the
it is a floating Grenfell as much as if somebody sets fire to it, it will fucking burn. And that's the only way it's going to go on fire, is if somebody sets fire to a room.
Yeah, it's not a fire risk, never was, but they can the left-wing blob conspired to say, this is an inferno waiting. So they failed. In the end, they finally couldn't hold up the traps anymore, and they've had to open up the Bibby Stockholm for business. Mm. Guess what the last delay was? Not enough high-vis jackets for the staff.
Well, they only need two.
Yeah.
There's only two of them there.
No, this is for the staff.
Yeah, no, but even the staff, they got one guy on there with the two migrants. How many more fucking staff do they need?
Well, there must be quite a few, because it's going to cost them 20,000 fucking quid a day.
What?
That's what it's
going to
cost.
What, for high-vis jackets?
No, to run the Bibby Stock on every day.
Why does it cost that?
Food.
Fuck that. What are they giving them fucking, you know, what, Kobe steak?
That's what it's going to cost, £20,000 a day.
Ridiculous. Flying in fucking oysters from...
No doubt.
Champagne from Scotland, lobsters from Scotland.
The
amount of money they waste on this shit is fucking ridiculous.
And by the way, I think so. I mean, and also, is it actually, it's supposed to sort of deter migrants? It looks quite nice.
Yeah, it looks
nice.
Right.
Sea view.
I've had worse holidays than fucking that.
And by the way, you talked about them sort of getting off the fucking barge and getting on the train and going somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, the local council will be taking them on 3-day trips to the local area, taking them to Weymouth, also taking them to the various music festivals that happen round about time of year.
Nice.
So they're getting all of this free.
Yeah, there's quite a nice little kind of adventure park in Weymouth, because I went down there once, and there's also, they've got one of those things that goes up and down, you know, it's not a restaurant, it's one of these towers you get in the bottom, you go up and you see the sort of panoramic views of Weymouth. You can also go Lulworth Cove, it's quite nearby.
Oh, that's lovely there.
This is a nice part of the world. Yes. I might like it down there. A couple of nice pubs.
I've forgotten, by the way, they also get free trips to the cricket.
The Jurassic Coast. Who are they supporting in the cricket?
It won't be England. I'm damn fucking sure. Do Albania play cricket?
No.
Well, because that's the team
they do.
But
they do supply the drugs. Yeah. This is the thing. It's fucking unreal, isn't it, what's going on? They don't have a fucking clue about how to stop anybody coming. Because, of course, as soon as you say to anyone, well, when you get here, we'll either put you in a hotel or a boat or something, they're going to keep coming. They're not going to stop coming.
The barge is fucking incentive. The barge is not a deterrent.
No.
Nor are these... by the way, they can't... The disused RAF bases remain disused.
Yeah. Well, the place in Bexhill that we talked about before... It's still
that's North Eye Prison.
North Eye, there's all now a group. I'm in touch with the guy who's running it.
Yeah, well, Jeff. I know the guy, Jeff Newman.
He's against the fucking
good guy.
The filling up of this place. But it's not fit for human habitation at the moment. They'll have to spend a bucket load of money on it before they put anybody in there.
Yeah, do you know how much?
They want to put like about 1,000 in there, or maybe more.
Do you know how much?
I wouldn't be surprised.
£20 million. Yeah. They're going to renovate this derelict prison
for
£20 million. So Rishi Sunak tells us this is all to save money on our £7 million a night hotel bill.
Because he knows a lot about saving
but it's
money.
It's not. It's quite expensive. It's 20,000 quid a day for the Bibby Stockholm. £20 million to renovate North Eye Prison. This isn't a cheap alternative at all.
Well, none of it is. The point is, it shouldn't be an alternative, because the whole point of the business of fucking housing migrants is that it's costly and it's not sustainable and nobody wants it. Apart from that, it's a great fucking policy.
I was saying on air this morning, actually, look, you know, I get all the arguments about not turning the boats back in the middle of the channel. although I think
seems like a pretty good idea to me.
I think we should turn them back in the middle of this channel. What I would say to Rishi Sunak is, if I was Rishi Sunak, I'd say to Emmanuel Macron, Monsieur Macron, back in March, I gave you half a billion quid to patrol your own beaches. Since then, record numbers of migrants have been crossing the channel in small boats and dinghies. In other words, you've done fuck all with that half a billion quid, £500 million I gave you.
You trousered it.
Yeah, I'm not expecting you to pay us back because you're a cheapskate Frenchman. But unless I see any results from me giving you half a billion quid, that's it. I'm going to start turning the fucking boats around in the middle of the channel.
And how about taking a few fishing licenses off them as well?
Yeah.
You can forget buying your fucking cod and chips from fucking Le Manche, because we're going to tell you not to fucking fish there, you fucking
bitch. Absolutely. So, so that, I mean, Rishi Sunak got away with murder there. I mean, why is he not being pilloried to buggery for giving the French half a billion quid
to pillory
for fuck all? For fuck all.
I know.
We got nothing out of
it. So you can't ask him at the moment because he's too busy going to spin classes in Los Angeles that may or may not be occupied by Taylor Swift. Apparently he turned up to some fucking spin class, which people thought Taylor Swift might be going to because apparently they play all their music.
Yeah.
And this woman was on TikTok going, oh, we were really excited because we saw, like, we had all these security guys around and we thought it was going to be somebody really famous and we thought it might even be Taylor. And then they put the lights down and at the end we were all looking around and it was apparently the UK Prime Minister. Yeah, Rishi Sunak doing a fucking spin class with a load of kind of, you know, adolescent girls.
Yeah.
What's wrong with it?
Well, maybe Taylor heard that Rishi was going to attend and swiftly changed her mind.
Very good.
See what I did there. See what I did. But you know the thing about Rishi Sunak is, what you just said, that spin class. Has he ever sort of taken the cheap option with anything?
No.
Everywhere he ever goes, it's the most expensive place. He wears the most expensive suits, the most expensive shoes. He doesn't, does he?
He's fucking married to one of the richest women in the world. Yeah,
he's never known anything else except great wealth.
No.
And there's a fucking problem there.
Well, there is a problem because he doesn't know what anybody's life is actually like.
Exactly.
And nobody who's in Parliament actually knows that. One of the things that I'll talk about when we do the Patreon thing, going to Edinburgh, is that you get out of fucking London, as you did at the weekend.
Yeah.
And you discover,
fucking hell, man.
A very different place, which is not London.
Well, for all the Patreon people, if you want to sign up, stay tuned, because I'm going to tell you about seaside deprivation.
Yes.
Fucking hell,
man. I know. And you realise there aren't fucking hordes of people going around in Uber execs. Fucking, you
must be joking.
Bottles of champagne opening all the fucking
time. Where I fucking was at the weekend, the popular form of transport is mobility scooters. That's basically it.
Yes.
So
you were telling me that Chasbo was up to his old tricks,
right?
In the house you were staying in.
It's my brother's house, and he stayed there before. And the last time he stayed,
he knows his way around.
Yeah. He managed to open the fridge and nick all the food from it and eat it.
He's such a naughty dog.
Yeah. So then my brother went and bought a fridge lock.
Right.
So put the fridge lock on. And Chaz swiftly said that word again. Quickly managed to pick that lock.
Just got it off.
The fucking thing off. So they got another fridge lock and they put that on this weekend and he had that away. It was in again.
Amazing.
And also... Once he's done the fridge, he moved on to the freezer. Fucking little cunt. Let's talk about Harry and Meghan, shall we?
Let's talk about Harry and Meghan. They bought a book, haven't they? But not the sort of book that you and I would buy for 20 quid to read on holiday. They've actually bought a book for how many millions?
Yeah, it's $3.2 million.
$3.2 million, yeah.
Harry. It's a book called Meet Me at the Lake by someone called Carly Fortune.
So I can shove you in and drown you.
It's by an author called Carly Fortune who's just made a fortune by getting $3.2 million.
You must go through, you want to go through, like, there are two things I'd quite like to do in life. Sell a book to Harry and Meghan for a ludicrous amount of money.
Yeah!
It's worth fuck all. Or be called a paedophile by Elon Musk and then sue him for a bucket load of money.
Yeah. I mean, but the other thing about this book is, guess what? It's the story of two people who meet in their 30s, and one of them is suffering from the childhood trauma of a parent who died in a car crash. It also involves great long discussions about mental health and drug taking.
Oh, goodness.
Ring any bells?
I'd see. There is a book a bit like that, isn't it, called Spare?
Why
didn't he just buy his own book for $3.2 million?
Well, you know that Steely Dan story? It's called called Showbiz Kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And it goes like this. Well, the show business kids making movies of themselves and they don't give a fuck about anybody else. Harry, Meghan, listen to that song.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, they're fucking making a film about themselves.
I know.
And also...
I bet it doesn't ever get made.
Well, they've got problems now because of the screenwriters or the actors' strike. But, you know, when that's over... what makes them think they know how to produce a movie? Yeah. You know, if you and I mean...
But this is the great thing about these fuckwits, right? They think, when they did the deal with Netflix, they started talking in a very kind of, you know, flowery way about how they were going to make a whole sort of bank of documentaries. And it turns out they then just bought a couple of documentaries and put Harry's fucking intro on it and then put it out as if it was one of theirs. Remember that one they did about, you know, great leading, you know...
Leaders.
Inspiring leaders of our time, which had already been filmed and done and put in a fucking box. Yeah. Harry does a little intro to it, and suddenly it's Harry and Meghan's fucking documentary.
Yeah, well, I've got
but
a
it's not.
I've got a message for those two fuckwits.
Yeah.
What would have been an interesting series is The World's Worst Leaders.
Yes.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Just go, inspirational leaders.
Yeah.
You know, positivity doesn't sell, you pricks.
No, it really doesn't. And also, the idea that they think, like, do you remember the interviews that the guy from Spotify gave? And the interesting kind of...
His name was Bill Norris, I think.
Yeah, and his interesting insight into what Harry wanted to do. And he went, oh, so you want to interview some interesting people, Harry, for your podcast? Who have you been thinking about? I'd like to interview the Pope. Oh, right, okay, so somebody's just going to ring the fucking Vatican and get the Pope for you. That's not going to happen. You know, that's not how the business fucking works, you little twat. If you know somebody and who's influential, you use them to get you the interview.
Yeah.
You don't just go to the producers of a podcast, oh, can you get me the Pope? It's like you going in the morning and going, can you get me an interview with Joe Biden?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the guy...
I need it by 11.
Yeah, I need it by 11 o'clock because I've got fucking... I've got a pre-rec to do, a couple of other shows. I'm not pissing around. I want it now. Because that's what his background is. He just thinks he can call people and get them to do anything for him.
So,
you know?
Exactly. So you know that. And then when you're a producer, by the way, it's your job to do everything that no one else wants to do.
Mm.
It's a fucking hard job.
Yeah.
So you know Jerry Bruckheimer, you know, the biggest producer in
The Top Gun guy.
Yeah, used to be, Top Gun, all that. Escape from the Rock, you know, the big film he's produced. It used to produce it with a guy called John Simpson.
That's right, they were famous, weren't they? What was their production company called?
Simpson, Simpson and Brock,
yeah.
Huge film.
They did everything, didn't
Don Simpson used to run Paramount. And anyway, I interviewed Jerry Bruckheimer when I was there.
Yeah.
And I said, so, you know, what does it take to produce a film? You know, what do you see as the good points about being a Hollywood producer? And he said... He said, there's one good thing about being a Hollywood producer. And I said, what's that? He said, well, you get a car park and it's got your name on it.
Right.
So he said, you can park. I said, anything else? He said, not really.
No, but that's it.
He said, apart from that, it's a fucking nightmare.
But the great thing about meeting those kind of characters who have been incredibly successful, whether they're in music or film or anything like that, or even authors, they're quite quirky, but they're fucking driven. This cunt Harry is not driven by anything other than his own fucking narcissism.
And
he has no talent
to
speak of.
Yeah.
He's not a good interviewer. He's not a very good subject of an interview. He talks about himself all the time. And he just doesn't... He has no discernible talent.
Yeah. And what they're going to find out is everybody thinks they can produce.
Yeah.
It's
not everybody thinks they can do
it's
what
a
we
hard,
do.
It's,
you know, it's a lot harder than it fucking looks.
But,
you know, I'm not going to make out that it's that difficult. You know, it's not like having a proper job. But you can't just do it because you want to.
But producing a movie is difficult. Yeah. Fucking hard. You know, it is just literally, a film from start to finish, you're talking 2 years minimum, possibly more.
And also, if you're a producer, don't you also have to get involved in all the various technical
aspects? Everything.
You've got to do
the
soundtrack. You've got to fucking worry about the money, how much you're
mainly
spending.
The money.
You've got to put fucking limits on everything that you do. You've got to get to time. You've got to go to wherever you're going, to Sierra Nevada, and film for fucking
anything
10
that,
days.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're, what's his face? You know, Alec Baldwin, you're going to try and make sure nobody gets fucking shot dead during the process.
Yeah, well, you've got to avoid... Well, literally, but that...
How did you get away with that?
When you're the producer of a film, you know, you're dealing with the guns, you're dealing with, as you say, production problems like sound, directing, pictures, the actors.
Mm.
But you're also dealing with the quality of the sandwiches, if the crew complain.
Yeah.
Whether or not the taxi service is running properly.
Yeah.
And so on, you know, you're dealing with major... film issues, yeah. but mostly you're dealing with sort of dreadful minutiae. Mm. So it is a nightmare.
Yeah.
And these two naive people who think, oh, yeah, I used to be in this little known cable show. Yeah. I used to be heir to the throne. Mm. I suppose he still is.
Well, not really. I mean, number four, he's down number six.
I think he's fifth at the moment.
Is he fifth?
Yeah. So just saying, oh, I know, let's be movie producers. Mm. Good luck with fucking that.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to die a dreadful death.
Yes.
Because they don't know what they've taken on. Mm. And they don't know what this...
Also, what they haven't done, which is a typical thing for narcissistic people not to do, is they haven't found themselves somebody who actually knows the business and paid them to make sure that what they do is actually worth doing. What they've done instead is gone, oh, we want to do this. And everybody else has gone, well, we don't give a fuck. You're fucking nobody. Fuck off.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened. Spotify have gone, fuck off. Netflix have gone, fuck off. Everybody else is going, well, what do you bring to the party?
Yeah.
Fuck all.
Yeah, exactly. And producers, the big producers, as I was saying, like Jerry Bruckheimer and... all the big names in production. The reason they're good at it is they've got a lifetime of experience and contacts.
Yeah.
So they know who to get in touch with if, I don't know, if the water supply goes
it's
wrong.
It's like music producers. You know, like Steve Lillywhite, that I got to know quite well for a period of time, he's now more or less retired. But, you know, people wanted him on their album because he made the fucking album work. But you didn't go, this is what I want. You wouldn't, you know, if they hired Steve Lillywhite, they'd be telling him what they wanted instead of letting him do what he fucking does and let him fucking take the project and make it good. But these two are too obsessed with their own fucking importance that they can't give power to anybody else.
And that's the other thing I asked Brookhomer. I said, so what does a producer actually do?
Yeah.
And he goes, everything.
Yeah,
and that is what it is.
Yeah,
trust me, they have bitten off way more than they can chew.
Yeah, but they laughingly think that they are going to be producers of things.
Yeah.
They think they're going to commission projects. You know, they have no experience in running projects in that way. They have no experience in finishing things.
Right.
You know, everything they've ever done has petered away into fucking nothing.
Absolutely.
You know.
Listen, talking of more money than sense, let's finish on a shocking fact that I picked up over the weekend. So you know that useless woke woman who was running NatWest and Coutts,
Dame Alison Rose,
who you know, who is now out of a job. Mm. She was earning £5.2 million a year. And so,
and about £4 million of that was a bonus. Right?
Mail on Sunday did a piece about all these fat cats. The guy who runs National Grid, whatever the fuck that is, he got £7.3 million.
Million?
Yeah, £7.3 million.
To do
this
what?
Is
exactly?
A con. This is a con.
But this country is full of fucking people like this, right? Absolute wankers who do a job which basically anybody could do because it doesn't appear to have any actual fucking requirement for intelligence or accountability. You know, this woman Rose.
Yeah. She ruined
it. She ruined Coutts.
Ruined NatWest.
Right? She, for the sake of putting in some fucking recyclable carpets, she's fucked an entire international bank.
Yeah.
She renamed it. And even Alex Salmond said, why on earth would you lose the name Royal Bank of Scotland? One of the great names in finance. It's got the royal word attached to it. She changed it because she thought they had a toxic fucking name because of Fred the Shred. But she was wrong about that.
I don't think that's true.
And NatWest is a shit name, and Royal Bank of Scotland is a great name.
Good name.
She ruined it. She ruined the company. She brought in all this wokery. She actually took the share price down the toilet even before the Nigel Farage stuff started.
Yep.
But you're right. But who fucking pays these people this kind of money?
So she thought that the bank's values and supporting the LGBT community and the fucking trans community and all that, she thought that was the important thing. So she disappeared that bank, took that bank down a fucking woke rabbit hole. Both banks, NatWest and Coutts, and fucked them.
Yeah.
Absolutely fucked them. Look at the mess they're in now.
I know.
She presided over this disgraceful system of closing bank accounts for people's political beliefs. Did you see that story as well? Not just Coutts and NatWest, but all of our banks collectively over the last 3 years, 4 years, have closed over 1 million bank accounts.
It's
fucking outrageous.
Incredible how they've been doing it.
Some idiot on Twitter said to me most of those were due to money laundering. 1 million people money laundering. No. I don't think so, mate.
No, because I've got some news for the people that think the banks stop people money laundering. They don't. People who launder money do it very fucking smartly. Yeah. They don't get caught. And that's how it happens.
And they certainly don't do it on that scale. No. They're not. They're not catching 350,000 money launderers a year. I can tell you
where to find money launderers. Right. First of all, go and find any fucking Turkish barber in your high street who'd no fucking customers in there, turning over 15 grand a week. That's money laundering.
Yeah.
But nobody stops them. Go to any casino that you find in fucking Britain and look at all the people who are putting cash over the fucking counter and taking cash out. That's money laundering.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not because the casino companies are doing it, but the people are doing it. It's washing money.
But
if you're actually an ordinary citizen applying for a bank account or trying to get a mortgage and they accuse you of money laundering, you're not money laundering.
I know. It's just bollocks. So these lefties are still trying to justify cancellation of Farage.
Oh, because they hate him so much that they want him to be wrong.
So they go, no, the reason the banks close accounts is because of money laundering. What, a million?
Yeah.
That's not a million people out there laundering money. But isn't it typical? You absolute fucking idiots.
Isn't it also typical, though, that because these lefties hate Farage so much, they're actually now defending private banking? You know, whoever thought that would be what they were doing?
And they're also buying into the fact that Coutts, arguably the most exclusive business in the entire world that serves the rich, the famous and royals, is inclusive.
Yeah.
It's not fucking inclusive. That's the whole point of fucking inclusive.
It must be inclusive because they've got a pride flag as you walk in.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Right. And we did recycle carpets.
We did rename it Cunts, didn't we, the last time we were on. You know. Come and join our bank. It's really, really super duper. Do you know what? The wokery, though, thing is catching on. See, the Daily Mail this week started... a woke watch, which is, I think, copied from...
You do it as well.
Well, I do the World of Woke. I think they've copied it because they nicked it this week and they've now started doing a story every fucking day. And people are sick to death of it. Absolutely sick to fucking death of it.
Yeah, and Telegraph for a long time has been doing page after page after page.
I know.
A lot of it gets like woke white noise, to be honest.
Yeah.
You just think, oh...
Well, this is it. I mean, you don't get... There's no point in getting worked up about absolutely everything. But I did quite like that story today, which we did, which was this Seattle museum. It's the Museum of Culture, Mopop or something it's called, and they've got an exhibition on about Harry Potter, but they've expunged any mention of J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, who created Harry Potter?
Well, I can't
tell
you.
Don't know. Who wrote the book?
Some turf. You know, can't be having anything to do with that. So there's no mention of J.K. Rowling at all in this fucking entire exhibition about Harry Potter. Just ridiculous.
By the way, did you see that Universal, who have the deal, the contract to do all the Harry Potter films. So they had this sort of big celebration of 10 years of Harry Potter classics or whatever, and they didn't invite her.
Yeah.
So it was that this. So she was getting cancelled by Universal.
Yeah.
Just like she was cancelled by Daniel Radcliffe and all the people who
all those other
stuff, those little ungrateful little shits.
Who were nobodies before they
were. Who starred in their film. Anyway, Universal, having sort of gone down the road of cancelling, guess what? They quietly renewed her contract
because
they fancy a few more Harry Potter.
Do you remember when fucking one of the publishing companies, I'm not sure which one it was, that she writes for, were approached by the wokists inside the company, you know, the little fucking, you know, 20-somethings, millennials, who were all upset about J.K. Rowling, and they were like, we want you to cancel her contract, and they were like, well, we're not doing that, because she sells more books than anyone in the history of the fucking world, so fuck off, basically.
Yeah, I mean, these corporations, money talks, but too often, though, I mean, full marks at Universal for at least... realising that J.K. Rowling might be quite important to their financial future. but too many of these businesses, like Dame Alison Useless, they stop caring about profits or
there's
conducting
no reason.
They just want you to know they have values.
Values.
Fuck your values. I don't give a fucking toss about your fucking
unfortunately,
values.
The share
just
values.
Bank my money, you idiot.
But unfortunately, the share values are not quite what they were.
Yeah.
There we are. The final wokest we should talk about is old Rapinoe, the American footballer. You know, the American women's footballer, who was the captain years and years ago, played in her last World Cup, and is now apparently being absolutely fucking slaughtered because, first of all, when they had the national anthem, refused to put her hand on her chest like all the rest of them, took the knee and fucking didn't sing it because, you know, America's such a horrible place that she can't possibly, even though she represents her own fucking country, can't sing the national anthem. Then was the one who took the final penalty in the shootout, fucking missed it.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And then started laughing.
Skied it.
Yeah, skied it. There's, in fact, there's a great meme going around of the ball as you would expect, going out into the sort of stratosphere and then coming back in and hitting Joe Biden and knocking him out.
I'd say, yeah.
But, you know, another one, Megan Rapinoe, one of these woke fucking footballers who used to talk about the trans footballing debate and wanted every fucking bloke to be able to play women's football. And she's now been fucked, and she's going out of the tournament and out of people's kind of consciousness as a total and utter failure.
Yeah,
as it should be.
So there's a lot of things.
So good fucking riddance.
A lot of things I can say about the Women's World Cup. The main thing I want to say is
it's shit.
Hey, I don't like women's football because it's not as good as men's football.
Yeah.
What's the point of watching?
That's it. You know, but worse than that, though, did you see on the front pages this morning, one of the fucking papers had a picture of the netball team, the women's netball team. You know, heartbreak for the Roses.
Yeah.
What?
By the way,
who cares?
I know. And by the way, so our colleague, our semi-colleague, Adam Bolton on Times Radio.
Oh, yeah.
He
likes the netball
game.
They
were talking about women's football. He said, isn't it just a bunch of women having a kick about? But here's my final question.
I quite like
my final point is, so this game, the women's football, which, you know, good. I'm glad they're all enjoying it, and I'm glad people, but I don't like it much. Too slow.
Yeah.
Too incompetent.
It's shit.
Yeah, and the goalkeepers can't save
it's shit. I mean, the goalkeepers are crap, right? But it was still 0-0.
Yeah.
What the fuck? The England game is 0-0.
Yeah.
You know,
the
US game is
0-0. Anyway, when there's a free kick, you know, like from 20, 30 yards, so let's say 30 yards. So you know the defenders form a wall.
Yeah.
So you know that the men, you know, cover their privates.
Yes.
The women do it as well. Why? They haven't got any bollocks.
No.
Why are they doing it?
Maybe some of them have.
That's the whole point.
Well, maybe some of them have.
They're trying to ape the man's game to the point where they cover their testicles. Maybe they've got something.
Maybe that's the answer.
Is there something they're not telling us?
Or maybe, you know, getting a ball in that particular part of your women's anatomy is also painful. I don't know.
I don't care.
I feel a thought police experiment coming on.
Yeah.
To get a wall of women, kick a ball at them, see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, we'll be doing a Patreon edition later on. You're off on holiday, so we're going to talk about that.
Yep.
And you'll be back, of course, in a couple of weeks' time. So in the meantime, this has been brought to you by suitablechoices.co.uk. What's our friend's name? Dave Johnson. If you need any kind of mortgage help, if you've got enough money to buy a house, the prices are still falling, by the way. So go to suitablechoices.co.uk and he will help you out. Meanwhile, we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. I think we've sold all the tickets
for a
live podcast recording.
Yeah, be there or
right
be
here.
Square.
It's going to be outside as well, so bring an umbrella.
Well, it's in a tent.
It is in a tent. It's still, if it's pissing down really badly, the fucking...
Don't say that. Won't come.
Yeah, of course they'll come. They don't care. Get fucking pissed.
You won't get wet, honestly.
Yeah, all right. I promise you won't get wet, but you might get pissed. And
would you mind you get pissed?
We do absolutely do that. So check us out on Patreon at the Thought Police Twitter account as well. And we'll see you soon.
Fuck off.
Exactly right. Thank you.